Good morning again, and welcome to GACF. As Joy said, it's a slightly different service today, at least in the message, because we're going to be talking about GACF. Now, if you were here last year and you heard me talk about this, our message will be a little different, and so don't worry, don't fall asleep in the message. You made it to church, and God is going to speak to you. Tell the person next to you, God is going to speak to you. And if there's no one next to you, it's maybe because there's a typhoon. And I don't know about which part of the city you live in, but in Panyu, where we live, it's very wild. And so I know that some people didn't make it because of that. And I think Frank's prayer was very good. You know, God is in charge. But anyway, we're here. You're here. Praise the Lord. And God is here. And so he's going to speak to us. But today we want to think about who is GICF. And our message will be an invitation for you to get involved in expanding God's kingdom in Guangzhou. And so let's have a look before we get going. Those of you who are modern people and like QR codes, from next Sunday, we'll begin the pre-service Bible study, which begins at 8:45. And for the month of September, we'll be studying the book of Jonah. So I'll give you a moment while you take a snapshot of that. And that will be 8:45 till 9:45 each of the Sundays through September. And we'll have a new one going into October after the holidays. All right, so that's our pre-service course. Join up through the group chat there. Okay, as I said, our message today is, who is GICF? And I know that some of us have been here for a long time, and some have not been here for so long. And so hopefully, as we look back, we're going to be encouraged at what God has already done, and we're going to see what is God going to do. And you'll see some of that in the message today. Okay, let me begin by sharing just a little of where we've come from. GICF, as we look back in history books, began round about 1983. I'd like to ask if anyone was actually alive then. They're just all the old people, right? 1983, approximately, in the U.S. consulate apartment in the White Swan. And then we traveled through the Garden Hotel and the Greenery Hotel until 98. But really, we spent most of our church, our kind of our history has been in the Star Hotel, which, if you don't know, is just a block along here on the corner. And when we were in the Star Hotel, GICF became the first licensed international fellowship in China when the government brought out those regulations. And so we have a historic place here in Guangzhou, and in all of China we got license number 000, I don't know how many zeros, and number one. We were the first ones. God did a special work here in Guangzhou, and over those years also SARS came and we lost a lot of people, and we started a new fellowship in the north of GICF, which is now the Fountains. And then in July 2012, they said, we're going to tear down the Star Hotel. And so if you go along there, you'll notice, it's still there. Well, they didn't tear it down, but they kicked us out. And so we moved around, we moved to the West End, and finally we came here in July 2013. So we've now been here in this building about 4 years, praise the Lord, and we've continued to renew our contract. God has given us peace from some of the storms that we did face in over the years we've had our fellowship in Guangzhou. All right, so that's just a little look back to see where we've come from. God has really blessed our fellowship, and it's great to see that you are here today. Thank you. That was the right response to that. Okay, now you might wonder who is in charge of the fellowship. So I'd just like to introduce to you our leadership structure. So if you are an elder or a deacon, would you please come up on stage just now? And because of the nature of our fellowship, you will see that some of them are missing. I'll show you some photos. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be shy and humble, brothers. Come on up on stage. We have a team of elders and deacons since 2010. We adopted that structure. We believe to be biblical. Come on. They're very shy and humble, so they don't like to come up here. But these are some of our elders and deacons. And so I do need to catch you up to speed. You'll notice that we have a new old face. Troy, that's Troy. Old meaning not that he's old, but he was on the leadership team many years ago. And through just different circumstances, he was not on our team, and now he's come back to join as an elder. And so today we're welcoming him officially back onto the team to serve for another 100 years or so, right, Troy? Something like that. And you will notice that Eddie's name is not up on the screen. Eddie has been serving as an elder for, well, many years, actually, more than 6 years. And so he is taking a break. In theory, all of the elders and deacons are supposed to take some kind of sabbatical, some kind of break. And so we're thankful for the ministry that he did in GICF. So you'll see there's our elders in the first column. Darius, that's me. Glenn is this fine young man from, where are you from, Glenn?
Ghana.
He's from Ghana. And then Troy, of course, who is from?
Australia.
He's from Australia, in case you can't tell by his accent. And then we have our deacons team, our head deacon Alfred, I'll show you in a moment. And then we have Richard from?
Canada.
He said that very doubtfully because he's another one of those mixed up people, as many of us are mixed up marriages, not because we're in conflict, but because we're married across nationalities. And Carl Wong, you're from?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, of course. He's been with us a long time here, so he's almost Guangzhou person, aren't you? Guangzhou run. And you'll notice a couple of other names. Let me show them to you. If I point this direction, that's Alfred, who has been the deacon, chief deacon for many, many years, and his wife Cynthia, and that's not his child. That's his second granddaughter, and he is currently with them back home. And you'll notice another mixed-up marriage, that's Azevedo and Sharon. Azevedo's from Mozambique, and their two children, and so he will be back with us next Sunday. We're also missing Jason, and that's because of the typhoon. They weren't able to make it here this morning. Those are some of the leaders of our fellowship. But I want to say a little bit about the leaders. You will notice, well, maybe you don't notice, when you look at these fine young men, you think, wow, they're full of wisdom, right? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hopefully that's what they see. But in fact, you know, a person who is giving you advice, if you come to any of the leaders for advice, for counsel, it doesn't mean that we're perfect or we have all the answers, but we might be able to help you with the piece that you're missing. So you see the picture up there. We're not perfect people, right? We don't lift up these guys, elders and deacons, because we're perfect, but because we've decided we're willing to serve God. We've said yes to his call. And so I want to encourage you as a congregation. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, they don't know. How about you help them out, guys? 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. We need your prayers, and in order to fulfill the work of the ministry, we need the support of the entire body. However, these are not all the people who serve, and so I would like to ask, if you serve in any area of GICF, just stand where you are. If you're in the music team, stand up. An usher or a greeter. If you're in Sunday school, if you're in the prayer team, if you're in the ladies' ministry, if you're in any other ministry that I've forgotten. What? Library? Ushers? Translators, okay, we have some translators, thank you, you can stand up there. So these are all people who serve. The orphanage visits, someone from the orphanage visits, I think someone is here, or the old folks visits, what? Prayer ministry. Okay, our church is run by what we sometimes call volunteers. I don't like that word, because it sounds like I'm just here to help. I believe that we're servants, right? We're called to join here in the ministry that God has called us to. In GICF. And so I just want to take a moment now to thank God for all of these people standing here. And would you join me, if you're sitting down, if you're standing up, then just join me praying in your heart along that God will bless each one of us at GICF, and we really will have a team of unity as we do his work. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these deacons and elders, but we're thankful that we're not alone in this ministry, and that we have many faithful men and women who serve you in all the different ministry areas of GICF. And I thank you for them, because they represent more than 30 years that you have been working in GICF through the ministry of GICF. And every year, renewing the people who are here and encouraging us through your word that is brought forth. So please bless the elders and deacons, and keep them faithful to yourself as we endeavor to lead this fellowship. And each one of the servants continue to fill the spaces that are in our ministry teams, and that we will lift up the name of Jesus and be the light in this city. And we thank you for your goodness in providing each person. Add more to our team today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You guys may have a seat. For those who are relatively new, it was good for you to know a little bit about the people who are in leadership positions and who serve. However, you might not have stood up today. I noticed there were a few of you sitting down. And so I encourage you, there is a list of ministries. I probably should have began with that list. It's on your song sheet. And at the end of the service today, if you feel God is calling you to serve in some way in the fellowship, and you're born again believer, then this is a list of places that you can serve. At the back, there'll be tables. Am I right in saying outside, Richard? Outside the back door, Richard will be waiting, and some of the leaders to help you sign up to join those ministries. The truth is that there is a high turnover in our fellowship. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But you can sign up to join any one of those ministry areas. Okay, where do all these people come from? 2014, we did a survey to find out where people come from. We found about 50 nationalities, and we found out that most people in the fellowship, 70% of the people in the fellowship, have been here 3 years or less. So I don't know if you've been here more than anyone been here more than 3 years? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. Keep your hand up if you've been here more than 20 years. Nobody? Oh, we occasionally have one or two. Yeah, there's a hand over there. There's more than 20 years. Some people have been here a long time. But we'd like to find out where you come from. And so I have listed the continents and a couple of countries in order. And so if you come from the country or continent represented, please stand up. And we want to find out how many we have from each one. So our first continent, of course, will begin in the least populated. If you're from Antarctica, please stand up now. I know it feels like that sometimes in Scotland. No one from Antarctica, no penguins here today. Our second is a populated continent. Anyone from Europe? Stand up if you're from Europe. Stand up so we can see you. Okay, everyone look around. I'm standing up too. Okay, there are not so many from Europe. Thank you. God bless you. It's a long way from home. And then South America. Anyone from South America? Bienvenidos. A ver, párense, por favor, pónganse de pie. We have a few South Americans and in the translation booth also. And if you are from, I didn't really know what to call it, Australia, Australasia, Oceania, including the Philippines, because there's a lot of them here too. So please stand up now. Australia and New Zealand, of course, as you see. Thank you. Philippines is one of our countries that we have lots of people from. And then Africa, if you're from Africa, not the country of, the continent of Africa, please stand up. Okay, so you'll see that as we go down, we are increasing the population. These are in order of rough population. All right, thank you. Have a seat. And then number 7, North America. If you're from North America, that would include Canada and anything else that you consider North America. Okay, quite a large group. Welcome. Glad to have you here. And sometimes, you know, I'm from Scotland, and so sometimes we think of North America, the Americans, as rebel colony. Please don't be offended. It's just my Scottish sense of humor. I love my American brothers, and even if they ruin my English, don't worry too much about that. And then if you're from the Indian subcontinent, another one of our large countries, if you're from India or one of those surrounding small countries. Thank you. Have a seat. And I think finally, if you are from Asia, you may have a seat now. So that's a very large group. I know some of you are mixed up. You don't know if you're from Asia or from where you are. But is there anyone that I didn't mention your country or your continent? Got everyone? The Middle East. Okay, anyone from the Middle East? That didn't stand up for Asia? Anyone from the Middle East? I think there are a couple of people from the Middle East. Anyway, they're not willing to own up to that. All right, so just so that you see, we are people from all over the world. Apart from Antarctica, we cover everywhere. And that's just a reminder, as one of the great blessings of GICF is, that we do have such a wide representation. We represent what heaven will be like. All the different colors and languages, and all speaking in beautiful Scottish English. I haven't got a Bible verse for that one yet, but I'm sure there's one in there. All right, how about our denomination? I think many of you have been here for a while. Our denomination is not a denomination. We're interdenominational. And so we have all the raving charismatics, and we have the raving conservatives, if that's possible, and we have everyone in between. We are quite welcoming, but we do believe we try to be biblical. Now, I use that word understanding that every church full of heretics in the world calls themselves biblical too. But we do believe we're biblical, and so our preaching, we want to be focused on the Word. And our goal is, in the central doctrines of salvation and faith, there is no difference. You know, we believe we're saved by faith, but in the other issues, the secondary issues, we try to practice tolerance. I encourage you in that area too. We want sound teaching of God's Word. Okay, so these are just a little of the things about our faith. And regarding the Holy Spirit, one of the major causes of division in our modern church, we have a range of positions amongst the leaders and servants at GICF. My personal position is a little of a contradiction in terms. I am a charismatic, anti-charismatic. And so that will either make you happy or make you unhappy. And I'm sorry, I can't help that. I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, but not in the excesses of some of the charismatic movement. And the Holy Spirit is alive, is my particular belief. Each one of the leaders has a slightly different shade in that one. But we do believe in unity. And we want to get together because we love God and we're here to serve Him. A little bit more specifically about what we believe is in our statement of faith. This year I will not go through that as I did last year. You can find it on gicf.net. And I don't think any true Christian will have any difficulty in agreeing to the things that are in there. Very general statements about our central tenets. of our faith. Okay, so that's just a little bit about what we believe and who GICF is. All right, so let's move on then and into the message itself. We will have a message this year. And the theme for this year is... That was miserable. You know, 8 months of this year have already passed. Well, we've got a few more days, right, of August. It's almost gone. And we said expanding the kingdom was our theme for this year. And so we need to ask ourselves, how well are we doing? Ask yourself, how well am I doing? Is the kingdom of God any bigger today because of my life in Guangzhou over these 8 months? Ask yourself that question. Our scripture verse comes from Matthew. Of course, we're studying through the whole book of Matthew this year. Matthew 9:35 said, Jesus went about teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, and so on. The key points there, the teaching and the preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We want to expand God's kingdom because that's what we believe he called us to do. Not just this year, but always. And so we're going to go and have a little look at our chapter for today, which is in Matthew chapter 13. I won't read it all, but I will read a part of that. And so let's just pray now as we look at God's word, that he's going to speak to us and challenge us in this field that he's called us to. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have your word. And though we are a diverse group of people from all over the world, representing many nations and many languages, we thank you that you've called us to be together this Sunday morning. And that despite the weather and all the obstacles in our life, here we are. And so now we present ourselves before you. And we say, speak to our hearts. Use your word to challenge us that we can live for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Obviously, we're talking, our chapter is... Oh, no, that's not in my notes. Okay, I'm going to go backtrack before we actually read God's word. Let me just go backtrack. In expanding the kingdom of God, how are we going to make it happen? Here, I missed a couple of slides in my notes. Sorry about that. These are the events that are coming up. And from next Sunday, you will have a new song sheet. And it will have some of these details on that. So we are improving in that area too. You'll notice that we have monthly prayer and worship nights. There was one on Friday night, right? Were you at the prayer and worship night on Friday night? Okay, there were some people who were there. And it was a great time, right? And God was there, right? Okay, amen. So every Friday, last Friday of the month, generally, we'll have a prayer and worship night. And you can ask about that if you're interested. And those are the four. For this is this semester, mostly. Next Sunday morning, the pre-service course will begin. So we're thinking about how do we expand God's kingdom. These are the events that we have planned. 8:45 in the morning, you'll be here, and it'll be a great time. I encourage as many of you as possible to come along and find out what God did in Jonah and what he can do in you. And 23rd of September, Women's Conference. You already heard about that from Joy. So do sign up to join that event. We have a new event that we're planning in October. And I know that some of you will be surprised to see that up there because I'm not famous for sports. Is there anyone here who likes sport? Okay, yes, I see those hands. Okay, so if your hand is up and you like sports, you might like to volunteer, sign up at the back today to join in organizing the sports event. We feel like there's a ministry area there where people go to gather on a Sunday afternoon, and so we'd like to run a sports event in October, date to be determined. So if you're interested, please sign up at the back, and we'll run that event. And then I think, here's another one, if you're interested in outreach, that means you're a Christian. If you're not interested in outreach, you need to read your Bible some more. We'll have a pilot version of an outreach event. I will give you more details in future, but if you're interested, again, sign up at the back, and we'll get you involved in the team to organize that outreach. And then we'll have a Sunday school graduation. Sunday school actually goes up to 11 years old. 12 years old and up should come back to the service, and we're going to have a transition for them over the next couple of months, and more details of that to follow also. So if you have a child who's around about 12, they will have some classes after leaving the service until October. All right, so those are some events. If you notice something strange going on in the back corner, those are translators. There is Spanish and French translation. If you would like to join the groups, this side is French, you're right, and this side is Spanish. So if you take a snap of the translation groups, you can join and you can hear the message. Now, if you see someone using headphones, they're probably listening to the sermon in French or Spanish. If they're not, you can nudge them and say, stop playing on Facebook, right? It's not an excuse to play games on your phone in the sermon. But it is for those who need the service of French or Spanish. If you would like to volunteer to help in either of those groups, join up now. Right? Sign up on the QR code and you can talk to me through that. And we'll get you involved. All right. I think now we're ready to go into the sermon, which is Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 23, which is about... is about the sower and the seed. Now, I have a feeling you might have heard this story before. The sower and the seed. It's a reasonably famous story in the Bible. And so here we have some cute little pictures, the sower and the seed. And so I will not read the entire chapter, I'll read the application part in a little while. But let's just have a look at some of the things that happen in the story of the sower and the seed. So here's our first one. A sower goes out to sow, you know the story, and he sows the seed, and the first lot of seed falls on... There's a clue for you. Falls on the path, right? Do we maybe need to go back and read the whole chapter? Anyway, you can read it for your homework. In the first set of seed, the sower is throwing a seed, and some of the seed falls on the path, and the birds come along, and they eat it up. It keeps sowing, and some of the seed falls among... Yeah, the stones, the rocks, right? That's the next picture there. And it springs up, but it withers because it didn't have any root. And then some of the seed falls among thorns and thistles and weeds, and it gets choked out. It can't grow. And finally, some of the seed, as he throws it out there, falls in the good soil. And it springs up, and it produces a good harvest. Okay, that's the parable that Jesus told. And then his disciples were like, well, we don't understand. Why do you always speak in parables? And so he gives them an explanation in the middle of that section. And he said, to you it has been given, this is in verse 11, to you, disciples, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells the disciples, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. So Jesus tells these stories both to reveal the truth and to conceal the truth. And for us as disciples, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So that means he's going to reveal a truth about the kingdom. Right? Our theme for this year, expanding God's kingdom. And so hidden in these four little parts of this story is a truth, a mystery of the kingdom of heaven that we want to be revealed to us. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 18. It's not on the screen, and I'm reading from the New King James. If you have your Bible, if not, there are Bibles here, you can pick one up. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Let's read the explanation of the parable of the sower and the seed. And it says this, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the word, the seed on good ground, hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The interpretation of the parable, as Jesus gives it, he explains what he was talking about in private to the disciples to reveal a mystery of the kingdom. Let's see if we can find that mystery of the kingdom and what he wants to say to us today. So the first thing he says is that the seed is... The seed is... Okay, the word, what word?
The word of God.
Right, when we read this normally in the Gospels, we think of it as the word of God. And he does say that in one of the Gospels, he said the seed is the word of God. But in this one, he says the seed is what? Verse 19 says, this is the seed is the word of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. So yes, it's the word of God, but it's the word of his kingdom. You see, God has a plan. God is not interested in taking back heaven because he already owns it. God is interested in taking back his kingdom here on earth. And so he signs up people to say the word of the kingdom. That is, here on earth, God is supposed to reign. Does God reign on earth? Well, he's given up some of that authority to the devil, the prince of the power of this air, who has the power over the earth and has authority. But he's got us, you and me, to build his kingdom. And so the first secret that he hides in this and reveals to his disciples is it's the word of the kingdom. That is, that Jesus is a king who wants to rule on this earth. And from there, the rest of the story begins. God's word is the word of the kingdom. He's not here just to take us off the earth and get us into heaven, this wonderful place after we die. He's here to build a kingdom that he wants you and I to be part of. So his first lesson to us is that this is the word of the kingdom. A kingdom has a king, and he wants to rule and reign in that, and that, of course, is Jesus. So here's our first lesson. The word of God is the word of the kingdom. And that's why we have dedicated ourselves this year to expand God's kingdom. Because that's what the whole message of the Bible is about, expanding his authority here. Now, the first set of seeds, of course, is the seed that fell on the path and it was eaten by the birds. And look what happens. Here's someone who hears the word of God. It's not someone who's never heard. They hear the word of God. And what does it turn into for this guy? Turns into a football, right? Turns into football. He was thinking, yeah, I heard this Bible verse in church. And slowly it's kind of erased. And then he's thinking about football. Now, how long does that take? I don't know. How long does it take after the sermon before you've forgotten what the preacher said? By lunchtime? By dinner time? By Monday? How long does it take to forget what the word of God that you heard on Sunday that meant something to your heart? How long does it take to forget it? Now, that's not to make you feel guilty. That's just to make us think that the seed that falls on the path might actually be in our heart too. Because we are so forgetful. Okay, how many of you have ever heard a life-changing sermon? Sometime in your life you heard a life-changing sermon. If your hand doesn't go up, I'm going to think this is suspicious. Right? You've been in GICF at least one Sunday. If you've heard a life-changing sermon, can you still remember what they said? I know the impact should stay. Now, you might forget the words, but the impact should stay. That is, God's kingdom should grow in your heart. You should be more like Christ. And so this is what he's saying. It's easy for us to also forget. Okay, never mind. Two Sundays ago, I was preaching. What was I preaching about? Quick download from the GICF.net, right? No, don't ask me. Don't tell me if we forget easily, right? This passage, he's not just telling the disciples to say, well, those bad people out there who forget the word. He's showing us that inside ourselves we have the same problem. We are forgetful. Okay, don't be forgetful hearers, he says in James. The second kind of seed fell among the rocks. And so it sprung up quickly. They received the word with joy. Oh, it's great. And some people, they go out of the church on Sunday. Ah, oh, wonderful message. That was great. I loved that. And quickly the seed withers because there's no root. Right, you can see that. These are people who've heard the words, they receive it happily, and then, I've forgotten again. He's not just talking to the sinners outside. He's not saying, oh yes, like those bad people. He's saying that we too can be guilty of this. We can be all four of these soils at different times in our lives, even different times in the week. The third kind of soil, of course, is, look at this guy. Thorns and thistles. What happened to the word? It was choked. It says in verse 22, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, we're not talking about sinners outside. We're talking about people who've received the word, and the care of the world, the worries, and the deceitfulness of chasing more money. I've got to have more money. It's about my kingdom. Then the word is choked. Right, these are people who know God's word, and it might be you, and it might be me. God is speaking to us today, and he reveals to the disciples, this is not the worldly people outside. These are people who've been under the influence of the word of the kingdom. They've all received the word of the kingdom, and so it's a challenge to us, not just to run too quickly and say, yes, I'm good soil, yes, I'm at the end, but to think where we stand regarding these others. And of course, the point of this message was at the end. He who received the seed on good ground hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, and produces. And so that's where we want to get to this morning. As we come towards the end of this message, we have to think, well, expanding the kingdom, what really does it mean? So there are four kinds of soil. The path, where the word has no effect. There's the stones, where the word has an effect, it springs up and no root. Those who haven't had good, consistent teaching. And then there's the thorns and thistles that chokes out those who've been in the church some time and who just let the word die in themselves. And then, of course, there's this kind, the good soil at the end. So what do we need to do this year? In order to expand God's kingdom, what do we need to do? Well, there are a couple of things I'd like to share with you. And this is the application for GICF today. Okay, so tell the person next to you, God's going to speak to you again. Okay, God's going to speak to you again, because this is what we need to do. God wants us to do something as a consequence. He said, those who heard the word and understood it. I hope you understand me, right? That my Scottish accent is not so difficult that you can't understand. But we need a Scottish to English translator too, right? If you understand the word, then it's your responsibility to do it. In the book of James, it says, don't be hearers only, be doers. Don't be deceived. Go and do. So what do we have to do? Here's what's left for us in September, October, November, December. What's left of this year to expand God's kingdom? What are we going to do? Verse 3 said, a sower went out to sow. What are we going to do for the remainder of this year? We're going to sow the word of the kingdom. That is telling those round about us, God wants to build his kingdom in you. Not just the sinners, in us too. He wants you to be more Christ-like. He wants you to do more for him. He wants you to love him more. God wants his kingdom in us. That's the word that we're going to share. And he says the seed is the word of the kingdom. So we are going to use his own word. Because the Bible says that God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes that which he sent it to do. You go out there and talk to the sinners, you go out there and talk to the Christians, and you use God's word, it will have a result, it will have an impact. And so our first application for us today is this. What's left for us in this year, and for the rest of our lives? It doesn't end in December, but it's our focus for this year. We go out and we sow the seed. Now, in order to see how we're doing in that, ask yourself this question. Don't answer it out loud, but ask yourself this question. When was the last time, Ben, that you sowed God's word in the life of somebody? Don't answer that question. Just to make sure you're on the ball. When was the last time you sowed God's word in somebody else's heart? I asked this question a couple of weeks ago. When was the last time you told someone about Jesus? A believer, when you sat over lunch and you talked about their faith, or about your faith, about what God's been showing you, and what do you understand by this chapter or this verse or this concept, and sharing God's word. When was the last time? Okay, and if it's been a long time, purpose in your heart, I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to try and do it today. I'm going to talk to someone and share God's word. I'm going to be the sower. Okay, that's our first application. Be a sower. Go out there with the word of the kingdom. But that's really not the end of this message, because you see, the second application maybe is more important. Don't go out there and preach about God until, first of all, you decide, I will become good soil. Because the truth is, the path and the stones and the word choked by thorns and thistles are not just the sinners, they're you and I too. These same things happen to us. We all face the same temptations. We all face the same temptations. And so the first step is get yourself into the good soil position. Lord, I accept your word. I'm going to live it out. I'm not going to let the devil snatch it away and forget what I heard. I'm going to take notes in the message. And I'm going to apply them to my life. Become good soil. It says, how do we become good soil? Hear the word. Understand it. Bear fruit. And so the challenge, before we go preaching at others, although we must do that too, before we go preaching at others, the challenge is, am I good soil? And certainly you are, right? I know you're good soil because you're here today. But there may be some areas in your life that are not good soil, where you heard the word and you've chosen not to obey. Some area in your life where you've chosen not to give control to God. And so I challenge you, give up. Give up your whole life to God. Become good soil in every area so that you can bear fruit for his kingdom. Because that's what God is interested in, us bearing fruit for his kingdom. And of course, part of bearing fruit is reaching the lost. And so we'll have an outreach event coming up in October. And so I want you to be praying for someone that you can reach out to, an unsaved person or a person who's not going to church. They're here in Guangzhou, and that you're going to bring them to church. And these are words that I shared from Spurgeon before about reaching the lost. If the sinners are going to hell, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they're going to fill hell, let it at least be the case of us that we prayed for them and we did our best to warn them. Right? Serious words from Spurgeon. It's part of our duty in bearing fruit to reach the lost. But it's not our only duty. Our first duty, love God, be good soil, and then bear the fruit that will bring others to Him. So don't let the lost around you escape without knowing you are a Christian. Don't let the people around about you think you're just a nice guy, a nice girl. Let them know Jesus in us is what makes the difference. What is GICF? I love this picture. I've shown it several years when we talk about this. It's a bit out of date now because that tower is finished. What is GICF? Well, the question that God asks is, who will I send? Who's going to go for us? Right? Who's going to reach the guy in that little window up there or that woman in that window? You know, every window, every light in that picture of Guangzhou represents a person, a family, an eternal destiny. And we're not going to sit down and let them go to hell without us doing our best to reach them. It begins by you being good soil, by letting the word of God take effect in you, the word of the kingdom. Let Jesus be the king of your life. And then saying this, I'll tell him. I'll reach her. I will go out and be God's ambassador. GICF, we believe, is the body or the diplomatic body of Christ. We're here on a mission to reach the lost world for Him. So who's going to reach them? GICF is you. There's plenty of temptation while you're here in Guangzhou to get lost, to drift away from your fellowship with God and your love for Him. So don't drift away. Get involved in the life of the fellowship. When we finish, straight out the back door, sign up to be involved in a ministry team and to do something while you're here in Guangzhou. The world is heading to hell. What are you going to do about it? GICF is you being involved in building God's kingdom here. Let's be good soil and let's sow the good seed, the word of the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have your word. It's what makes the difference between us and the lost. That we've heard the word, we've understood it by your Holy Spirit, and we've chosen to give our lives to you. I believe that most of the people here listening now have already at some stage given their life to you. And so in some area of our life, we've become good soil. We've borne fruit. But I know that all of us too have faced the temptation of Guangzhou. How easy it is for the cares of the world, or the deceitfulness of the pursuit of riches, the business opportunities, to pull us away from our focus in life. We're your ambassadors. We're the children in a kingdom called to love the King, called to expand His kingdom. Lord, we haven't always done that. And so I thank you that you offer us your forgiveness when we've let you down, when we've failed. You don't judge and condemn us. You say if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, takes away those sins and makes us right with you. So we thank you that as we stand today, we don't stand condemned. We stand justified, made right before you for a purpose, to sow the word of the kingdom. Let us go out of here to sow your word, to be good soil ourselves, and that your kingdom will continue to be expanded over these next few months of 2017 as we put into practice what we have heard today. Lord, let us resolve in our hearts to serve you both inside GICF and outside, and that the world will be reached by our efforts to bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand up and get ready to sing our closing song. The blood of Jesus that God offers us is what gives us entrance into His family and what He gives us to share with the lost world around about us.